Sup, freaks, it's your boy Marty here to introduce this rip of Rabbit Hole Recap. It was brought to you by our good friends down the hall, Unchained. Unchained is here to help you eliminate single points of failure in your custody. They have their 2 or 3 multi-sig vault, which is collaborative custody. You hold 2 keys, they hold 1. You eliminate single points of failure by distributing your keys and their backups geographically. You can lose three of the 4 devices and still get access to your Bitcoin. Unchained is always there as a collaborative custody partner to be the second in the 2 or 3 multi-sig transaction if you need them to sign on your behalf. And their whole company revolves around this 2 or 3 multi-sig setup. They have an IRA that you can roll over into, or you can start a Bitcoin IRA with Unchained. So if you're out there, you're looking at the ETFs, you're like, should I buy the Bitcoin ETF? No. You should hold your own Bitcoin in your IRA. Unchained makes it very easy. So if you're thinking about rolling your IRA into Bitcoin, hit up Unchained. Go to unchained.com/consultation. Talk to their team. You'll be able to roll it over, own actual Bitcoin, not Bitcoin IOUs, and then hold your own keys. It's a 2 or 3 multi-sig quorum. You hold 2 keys. Unchained holds 1. It's a beautiful thing. All right, go to unchained.com/consultation. Tell them that Rabbit Hole Recap sent you and get set up today. This report was also brought to you by our good friends at CoinKite. CoinKite is here building the best hardware in the space. I got this little block clock showing Moscow time right now behind me. It's 1929 in Moscow. It's an inside joke. 1929 sats per cuckbuck. They also make the best Bitcoin wallets, hardware wallets on the market, signing devices. MVK likes to call them signing devices. That's what they are. You got the Mark IV, the MK4, which is the best on the market to date. In this episode, we actually previewed the Q as well, MK4. It's NFC enabled. You create your private public key pairs offline. You can add entropy to your private keys with the roll of dice. It's got an SD card. You do everything offline. You don't touch the internet, so you keep your private keys secure. The Q1 has all the same internal guts as the MK4, but it's got a full keyboard. It's got a QR scanner. It's got a battery pack. It's going to come with a bunch of really cool features. You're going to be able to save your passwords there. You're going to be able to create PSBTs. It's NFC enabled as well. They're building the best hardware out there. Go to coinkite.com. Check it out. Get a block clock. Get a Q1. Get an MK4. Get some SATs cards, some tap signers. It's really sci-fi technology. It's really approachable. Coinkite.com. Try RHR. Try CD, try TFTC. Still don't know if we have a code. Enjoy this rip. Ticky.
You've had a dynamic where money's become freer than free.
If you talk about a Fed just gone nuts, all the central banks going nuts.
So it's all acting like safe haven.
I believe that in a world where central bankers are tripping over themselves to devalue their currency, Bitcoin wins. In the world of fiat currencies, Bitcoin is the victor.
I mean, that's part of the bull case for Bitcoin.
If you're not paying attention, you probably should be.
Hold on to your suits, freaks. We're back.
Hold on to your suits.
We're back for another episode of Rabbit Hole Recap. Rip 297. Getting close to 300.
This is the first major dump for the suits.
You think they're okay?
They were shaking in their suits.
Now I get it. I didn't get the title. Now I get it. Hold on to your suits. We dumped.
Wait, you really didn't understand it? You agreed that it was a good title.
It just sounds good. It's catchy. Hold on to your suits.
We might have dumped enough that a bunch of suits shorted Bitcoin for the first time too. So they're going to have to hold on to their suits in both directions.
Well, we've ripped. Currently it's 65, 615.
Did we tap 60?
I think we tapped like 61.5.
I still haven't plugged in my block clock. I looked at it yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, you can plug it in. It's above 56.
I know, but I haven't plugged it in for years now.
You got to rip the Band-Aid off at some point.
Now I feel like it's nostalgic. Like maybe I'll just keep it forever like that.
Maybe.
Maybe we'll hit 56 again and then I can plug it back in and it'll just be accurate.
And you plug it in on the way down. Hold on to your suits.
Marty, you promised us no dumps.
This isn't a dump.
So what
this
is
isn't a dump. We're at 65K right now.
So it was just like a humble 20%.
Was it 20%?
Like 73 to 60?
61, that's 12K. Yeah, it's less than 20%.
It's like 18%.
Yeah, not quite 20. Not a dump. Gotta get to 20 to be a dump.
This is like the Marty recession index or whatever. It's like, it's not a dump unless it's 20%. Like, I'll remember that. I think there's going to be 20% corrections.
There definitely will be.
I mean, dumps. Once they hit their correction until 20%, then they're dumps. What happens? Is there another escalation from there? Like 40%? What is that?
That's a bottom falling out event.
Then what is 80%?
That's sell your suits because you're going to need some cash to buy food.
A bunch of suits learned why we stay humble in stack sets this week. Or maybe they didn't. Maybe they need a couple more not dumps for them to realize.
Are the suits manufacturing the dumps? I've seen a lot of those theories going around.
There are definitely some suits that are playing games and are having fun with their first free market that they've ever experienced. And then there's other suits that are the recipient of the games. But like, you got to imagine there's like massive hedge funds out there that are just going to play with this volatility the whole way up.
Yeah. That's what Zero Hedge was reporting. They think Jane Street is spoofing the futures markets at open, whether it's to suppress the price or let the ETFs get in at a lower price. That's the big question.
I have, yeah, I mean, I think it's partially that too, right? Like, get entries. But I think there's so much money to be made on the volatility in each direction. If you're like a short-term hedge fund, like long, short, just going both ways. But, and there was like some shenanigans that happened on BitMEX's spot market for Tether, which is a completely irrelevant market, but it kind of happened at the same time. But yeah, I mean, if I was like a hedge fund suit and I like just discovered Bitcoin, and I had like billions of dollars to fuck around in my hedge fund ways, like, why not? That's what free markets are.
It wicked down to like 10K on BitMEX on Sunday night, right?
On the big BitMEX Bitcoin Tether market, which is like a spot market. BitMEX historically has never had spot. But like, once they added KYC and stuff, they're like, let's add all the shit, you know? And they added this market. So it's a much smaller market. Clearly didn't have much liquidity. Someone sold 400 Bitcoin on one click and it just brought it down to like 10K or something. But yeah.
It's a lot of Bitcoin to sell one click.
Yeah, but not if you're like hedged on like short on like futures markets and stuff.
Yeah.
You know, not if you're a hedge fund suit that just discovered this game for the first time. You're like, oh shit, you know?
Yeah,
I could see it being quite fun for them until it's enthralling. I mean, you got to remember once again, it's like 1% of people can trade and outperform all of us, but like for 99% of people, you're just better off staying humble and stacking sats, like because people will just get wrecked eventually.
Yeah, and if you're worried about this volatility and you want Bitcoin's true price discovery to come to fruition, the best way to do that is to pull your Bitcoin off an exchange. Put it in the cold storage.
Yeah, I think that's part of stay humble, stack sats, because if you don't have custody, then you're just stacking IOUs. You're not stacking sats.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that should be a given, freaks. I guess we do have some new freaks now in the house that came in the cycle. But yeah, not your keys, not your coin is a key foundational element of what we do here. If you don't hold Bitcoin yourself, you're holding an IOU, not Bitcoin, and you will be in for a world of hurt. Me and Marty were getting shit on 2021, 2020, early 2022. I had people specifically tell me that not your keys, not your coin was FUD. And a lot of those people, you know, were in
just
FTX.
Hold it on FTX. Just hold it on FTX.
The era of Gox is over. We're a mature market now.
Sam Bankman-Fried's here again to hold your Bitcoin for you.
I mean, there were some funds.
That was the exact response, is like, your Bitcoin safer on FTX, if I recall correctly.
And it wasn't even just like, you know, new coiners, like normie new coiners or whatever. There was whole funds that just had all their assets under management. They just had on FTX.
Companies, yeah. Especially if you had FTX's venture arm invest in you. Part of the deal they had was that you had to custody your funds with FTX so that they could take it and gamble with your funds. So fool me once, shame on you. Fool, I don't. You get fooled again, George Bush.
I think you quoted it perfectly. Yeah. I have freaks in the audience asking about my fresh new Scylla Dispatch hat. This was a gift from a ride or die freak. But he's going to help me make them. So give me a few weeks and then I'll hook you guys up.
It's the first thing I said to Matt when he hopped on the stream. Because I love that hat. I saw it yesterday for the first time.
This was a gift from a ride or die freak that aped into Bitcoin at 16K for the first time, right to self-custody.
This is the way it's done, freaks. Learn from this freak.
I'm quite proud of him. What a dude.
He should be proud of himself.
He should be very proud of himself. I think he is. What else?
PSA? Oh,
yeah, we got to do a little homework here. I'm sorry, freaks. I wasn't great during our live rip from Austin. Vibes were high. We had a live audience. There's no excuses. I might have scared some of you more than I intended to scare you in terms of cold card and dice rolls. So I just want to go a little bit deeper on it. Okay. So first of all, if you've used either of my two guides on cold card, you're good. Whether that's the original puppy sale video.
RIP puppy sale.
Is a bit antiquated now. You probably shouldn't use that guide because I don't even think Wasabi supports cold card anymore, and it used Wasabi. Or my new guide, werunbtc.com/coldcard, which uses Sparrow Wallet. Because that cold card has two dice modes. They have one that's additive, and that's what my guides use. So you use cold card's randomness plus the dice rolls you add. Okay, and the key here is you want sufficient randomness when generating your private keys. That's what keeps them secure, right? We call it entropy. So when you do the additive mode, you're taking cold card's randomness that's generated by the device, which should be sufficient by itself. It's designed to be that way. And then you're adding your own dice roll. So anything you add on top of that is just a net benefit from using cold card's randomness by itself. Then you have dice rolls by itself, where it's only dice rolls. And this mode was added to cold card because the other way, the way I recommend, you can't reproduce yourself. You can't, in a trust minimized way, verify that the dice are actually being used as they're being said. And you have to trust cold card to a degree. So that part is an advanced user mode. And when you're doing that, you want to do at least 100 rolls. Up until two firmware updates ago, cold card would give you a big warning if you didn't do 100 rolls. But some people allegedly click through it. It's impossible to verify if people actually did or not. But some people just click through the warning and they did like 15 dice rolls or something. And that generates an insecure private key. And in that situation, your funds can get swept. So if you use the additive mode, which is what I recommend in either of the guides, you're good. If you rolled 100 dice, period, you should be good. If you actually rolled 100 dice and you didn't just press like 1111111 on the fucking keyboard, right? Which, once again, advanced user mode, you're good. And then third of all, like, and this one kind of like sucks to say, but like if your Bitcoin hasn't been stolen yet, you're probably good. Because usually like there's people running automated scripts that are just sweeping this shit as soon as the Bitcoin hits, okay? So that's the full PSA. I think I made that sufficiently clear, but I wanted to dive a little bit deeper into it because I got a bunch of questions after the show. And when I get questions, it means I did something wrong. So here we are.
Yeah. I think, long story short, if you're adding entropy on top of the private key the cold card produces, you're good. If you do it bare bones, you're creating the entropy from scratch. Make sure you do 100 dice rolls. Don't skimp. Don't hit like 1, 5, 7. You can't hit 7. 1, 5, 4, whatever. Make sure you're rolling the dice.
You should. Yeah, you can't. It's just 1 through 6.
Yeah. 7's not possible. That was a test, freaks.
If in the dice roll mode, if you like press 7, it should just break your gold card. Just be like, you're not cut out for this. Or just like reset you back.
Go back to square one. So beware, freaks.
And obviously, you know, more dice rolls, the better. So if you're really concerned, just keep rolling.
Roll to 1,000. It's going to take you a while. You have that peace of mind. With that said, we will go to Clark's dashboard to give you a state of the network. We're currently sitting at 65,390 cuckbucks. One cuckbuck is going to get you 1,529 sats. We're right below a $1.3 trillion market cap, sitting at a $1.29 million market cap. We are at block height 835,683, only 4,317 blocks away from the next block subsidy halving, which is estimated to be around April 19th right now. Blocks come in at 10 minutes on average, actually. It'll happen on April 20th, 420. So that'll be Saturday. That'll be a Saturday block halving if it happens on 420. There are currently 40,032 transactions in Clark's mempool. If we go over to mempool.space, we will see that there are 131,594 transactions in mempool.space. Space's mempool, high priority transactions are getting through at 30 sats per V-byte. Then it's pretty tight after that. If you have a lower time preference, you want to go medium priority, it's 29 sats per V-byte. And if you have a low priority, it's 27 sats per V-byte. If it's lower than 12 sats per V-byte, it is no priority transaction right now. So be aware. If you're transacting on the network right now, and the dashboard is going to create a nice little segue into our first topic this week, which is Samurai Whirlpool. Currently, there are 10,897.69 Bitcoin in unspent capacity. That is 713.9 million cuckbucks in unspent value. That is the state of the network. And as I mentioned, Samurai's Whirlpool provides us with a nice segue into the first topic of the day, which is the fact that Samurai is launching stage one of Whirlpool decentralization.
Let's fucking go. Which is
very bullish to see. Yes. And so this is long awaited.
Yeah, this has been in the works for a while. I mean, the general idea is that there'll be many different coordinators running around the world. And the overwhelming majority will not be run by Samurai. At some point, none of them have to even be run by Samurai. And right now, my understanding is they're calling this like V1. So it's like whack-a-mole mode. So like you default to one coordinator, and if that goes down, then you switch to a new one. But they've been doing the building blocks for a lot of this for a while. Those building blocks include Soroban, their messaging layer, which uses Tor, and Ronin Dojo, like the actual node box, which can run these coordinators as well now. So really cool to see. I think this is a different trajectory. I mean, there's a trend in our list of this trajectory. But this is different than we've seen in Bitcoin land for a while, where a lot of times you start like super decentralized and then you build from there. But we're seeing a lot of centralized projects that started out very centralized and then moved towards a more decentralized model over time as they figure out the capability to do it in a way that doesn't hurt user UX. So just a reminder for the freaks that might not be aware, Whirlpool is supported in multiple wallets, including Samurai Wallet, but also Sparrow Wallet, which I personally think is the single best Bitcoin wallet available. It helps you break blockchain surveillance, Bitcoin surveillance. The way Bitcoin surveillance works is this probability analysis, right? So when you send a transaction, these surveillance mercenaries are making a probability guess on whether or not Bitcoin has changed hands, right? Because Marty can send Bitcoin to himself. So did Marty send Bitcoin to himself or did he send it to someone else? And they track those transactions through this public ledger, which is the blockchain. So Whirlpool, in a non-custodial way, you do a multi-party transaction. We call these coin joins. And because you do a multi-party transaction, it breaks the probability analysis. If you have five people, six people, seven people in a transaction, and they're all sending the same amount, you don't know which Bitcoin went where. And you're able to do that without actually taking custody of the Bitcoin.
Yes. Very important step for the Samurai team. And like Matt mentioned, what we typically see is projects going in the opposite direction. So it's extremely encouraging to see Samurai making these critical steps to further decentralize their product. And we have to give them props. This is not an easy thing to do. It's taken years to get to this point, and it's a Herculean effort to really get these types of products and build them and design them in the right way to make it as censorship resistant and resilient and robust as possible. And it's no easy feat. So shout out to everybody working on Samurai who's gotten the project to this point. Should be noted, though, they put it in the release notes. Older Whirlpool client versions will be able to continue creating TX0's mix and remix. However, once we observe internally that the number of connected Whirlpool clients running over Soraban surpasses those running an older non-Soraban Whirlpool client, we plan to decommission the centralized Whirlpool coordinator. And so I believe they're recommending that people do update. Yeah.
And so, also to the cold card thing, by the way, like, it's also important to update your firmware. When you, like, my guides, like, the first thing they say is update to the latest firmware ahead of time before you even set up your wallet. So with these types of things, it's important not to rush to update. But if you're using them with funds and you're using them with critical funds, it's important to make sure that you are on the latest version.
Yes. Specifically for Whirlpool now that they're going forward with Whack-A-Mole and their decentralized coordinator. It's advantageous for you to upgrade to take advantage of these benefits that come with this. So shout out to the Samurai team. Shout out to Ronin Dojo. Everybody working on, it's really cool too, because it's modular. You have like the Whirlpool decentralized coordinators. You have Soraban. Ronin Dojo has built this UI management system on top of it. And then obviously you have things like Ricochet, Stonewall, Stowaway, all these features that are added in a modular fashion. It's a beautiful thing to see. Next up on the list, OpenSats has issued a long-term support grant to Bruno Garcia.
Let's fucking go. I'm just going to say let's fucking go after every news item this week. This one, I mean, I'm particularly pretty excited about. So we added Bruno. The OpenSats team, the OpenSats board approved a long-term support grant to Bruno. And a reminder, long-term support grants are for load-bearing people that are incredibly important in the Bitcoin ecosystem. And it's to provide them a long-term sustainable funding option. So they can almost think of it as a salary, right? So it's a two-year term that gets reviewed and can be renewed, hopefully indefinitely, if people keep supporting OpenSats with donations. And it's paid out monthly. So it's a way for them to come into Freedom Tech and work on Freedom Tech full-time while having the financial stability that a traditional fiat job would provide them. And Bruno particularly, I think, is a pretty amazing candidate to receive this. He's based in Brazil. He trains new Bitcoin core developers down in Brazil. And he's working on multiple things in Bitcoin Core. One is fuzzing. So it's a way of testing for vulnerabilities in Bitcoin Core, which is absolutely essential. And then the other one is called ASMAP, which is on the networking layer to distribute connections between Bitcoin Core clients. Both of these are incredibly essential. And, you know, there's a disconnect, I think, between some people that are in non-technical Bitcoin land that are wearing suits that they're trying to hold on to during these tumulus weeks, that they think like every Bitcoin core developer is working on trying to soft fork the protocol or make massive changes to the protocol. There are countless individuals that are out there making no money that are maintaining the protocol that we all rely on. So like if you're an ETF and you're holding billions of dollars of Bitcoin and you're not supporting these people who are maintaining the protocol and making sure it's not vulnerable, you're a fucking idiot. Like you need to support these people. So consider that. And then also I would like to say is, you know, there's a lot of talk here for me about corporations supporting Bitcoin development and supporting OpenSats and supporting HRF and supporting Brink. We're all family here. I don't care where you send the money. I would like to see some support there, but I really do love the grassroots support that we've seen from Bitcoiners around the world that are stepping up and they're donating to OpenSats out of their own pocket. And that's what makes all this possible. Like this is not, you know, we have a 9-person board. We have Gigi, our fearless leader, running the whole ship full time. But it's not possible without the donations of thousands of Bitcoiners around the world.
No, just to highlight this particular grant and why it's so important. I mean, fuzzing an AS map, they're, like Matt mentioned, pretty boring parts of the stack. Like you need fuzz testing to find critical bugs that you can then fix if they exist so that Bitcoin can remain resilient and robust. And then AS map too. This is very important, like making it so that nodes can find a diversity of peers at the network level, because that's a big problem that could happen in the future is if nodes are just connecting with the same peers, that's a centralizing factor. So creating something like AS map to make sure there's a diversity of nodes connecting to other nodes is really important to solidify that part of the Bitcoin stack. Like you don't want everybody peering with the same nodes. There can be hundreds of thousands of nodes, but if everybody's peering with a select few, that's a centralizing force. And this is something that most people who aren't technically savvy aren't aware of, but these are the small details at the lower level of the protocol that are very important.
And that's one of the things that one of our ride or die freaks has pointed out in the comments. If you stream sats to Rabbit Hole Recap or Citadel Dispatch, 5% of those sats go directly to OpenSats. So if you've ever streamed sats to Rabbit Hole Recap or Citadel Dispatch, you have effectively supported more open source contributors than Michael Saylor and MicroStrategy.
Yes. Yes. You freaks who are zapping or boosting are doing more than MicroStrategy, which is you should be proud of yourselves, freaks.
Shout out you.
Shout out to you. Next on the list, the Human Rights Foundation donates $500,000 to 14 Bitcoin projects. As is tradition, I will read out the projects. Grant 1, USD eCash by Cali. This is really cool. He announced this earlier this week. We can probably expand on that in a little bit here, but just to get through the grants, BTC Pay Server, OG, open source software for organizations that rely on Bitcoin and want to accept Bitcoin easily in a non-custodial fashion. BOB Space, Builders Residency Program in Thailand. Yibao China. Yibao China.com. A nonprofit that advocates for democracy and human rights within the Chinese-speaking world. Bitcoin Innovation Hub out of Uganda. Bitcoin Dada, mission to empower African women with Bitcoin knowledge. The Bitcoin Design Foundation, very important as well, enhancing UX to guarantee Bitcoin's accessibility to all. Bitcoin Optech, another OG in the space, a resource for Bitcoin developers. Domus Android, an OG in the Nostr client world. Bitcoin core developer Pablo Martin, who's contributing to Bitcoin core. LN Bits, open source Lightning Network Tooling, the Bitcoin Policy Summit 2024, which will be in DC in early April, I believe. Video series Bitcoin for Billions by Paco de la India and Scalar School. Shout out to the Human Rights Foundation. Shout out to all the organizations and individuals that they gave grants to earlier this week. And grant number one.
Shout out to HRF. They continue to do great work.
I said it. Shout out to HRF.
Oh, well, I was distracted by the live chat.
Yeah. Sailor does not zap more than me, Pauly. I've been zapping like an absolute.
I don't think Sailor's ever sent a zap.
Bitcoin's property. You don't zap your property.
Oh, you're going to zap a fraction of a building? That makes no sense.
That makes no sense. Why would you do that? USD eCash. I'm really excited about this. You had Cali on Citadel Dispatch earlier this week. I have not had the opportunity to listen yet, but I'm hearing that it was a pretty incredible episode that unlocked the understanding of eCash for a lot of listeners. This is one aspect of what he is looking to bring to market. And I've said it before, like if we can replace Tether with eCash stability tokens, whether that be like how you get that stability, there's many ways to do it and design it. But I think a stable value token, an eCash token, would bring a lot of value to the world and would distribute risk in a better way than Tether does now. Tether's centralized and these eCash mints are centralized as well, but if you can have distributed a market of many mints, each with their own USD eCash, I think that's much more distributed.
Many mints.
So yeah, did you guys talk about this?
No, we weren't allowed to talk about this because it got announced the next day. But we talked about a lot. It was good, and I recommend that all the freaks go listen to it. Search Citadel Dispatch in your favorite podcast app to listen.
Shout out to Cali.
I mean, impressive. I think in this case, like, this is a relatively simple implementation. This is not using stability pools or anything like that. It's just you have a custodian, and then that custodian can choose however they have, you know, whatever their dollar exposure is, and then they provide dollar tokens, which is much simpler than a, you know, a DLC model or whatever the different proposals are for stability pools. But either way, right, there's nothing stopping you from offering eCash tokens in any shape or form, right? We did talk about on the RIP, you know, like Amazon gift points, right? And that's a dollar balance. Like Amazon can easily add eCash and run their whole gift card system through eCash instead of how they're currently doing it. And it comes with number of benefits. Like I had Cali on the RIP, just pretend Bezos was sitting in front of him and pitch Amazon eCash. And it's not like financial sovereignty, you know, privacy. They get efficiency benefits. They get fraud benefits. The system just works much better than the existing, you know, basically massive Excel spreadsheets that they use.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen this firsthand. I've been playing around with Mutiny's implementation of Fedimint, which is a federated Chaumin eCash mint, and it just works. Like, so last week, Sahil helped me make my presentation for the Bitcoin takeover look pretty. I'm not the best designer in the world, and I need a designer's touch on my presentation. So Sahil helped me with that, and he's so humble. I asked him to invoice me for his services, and he refused to, but I was able to go on Mutiny. And since I have my Noster hooked up to that, I was able to find Sahil and send him some sats without an invoice, and it went straight from the Fedimint. I have some sats in, or eCash tokens in on Mutiny, right to the Lightning address associated but with Sahil.
Through the Lightning gateway. Yes. Right. So then you have a Lightning gateway that is handling eCash to regular sats, and then it gets paid out to Sahil on Lightning. But if Sahil's in a different mint, right? Then his Lightning Gateway would then convert that into local eCash, and then it would receive back.
Yeah.
So Lightning is the glue, right? Lightning is the interoperable payment protocol that manages that payment.
Yeah. And so we have three technologies here working interoperably to make that transaction possible. Where Sahil wouldn't send me an invoice. So it was like, fuck you. I'll find you in my address book on Mutiny and send you sats. So you have the Fediment, the Lightning Network, and then Nostr working together to make that transaction possible.
And I mean, like, this is the beauty of open systems, right? And this is the beauty of free and open source software and freedom tech, like being able to build on top of other people's innovations, and they compound. 1 + 1 = 3 in this situation, right? Well, it's really like 1 + 1 + 1 = 5 or something. But
are you trying to change math here?
It's fucking beautiful to watch. And by the way, to the freaks, I mean, look, first of all, this is how people expect payments to work. You know, when I have my cleaning lady come over and she wants to get paid from Venmo, God bless her soul. Like I've offered her Bitcoin and cash, but she wants to get paid on Venmo. She doesn't send me an invoice, right? Like I look up her name and I pay her that way, right? Like that is how people are used to doing it. If they're doing Apple Cash, Cash App, whatever, like that's how people pay people. So we need this functionality. And then second of all, if you're not aware of Sahil, Sahil's the one who has written, like five pages on Marty's website about how he's all in Bitcoin. So you should definitely go check that out.
Yeah. Shout out to Sahil. Get on Zero. I know you guys have some differences about the branding. Dude,
Get on Zero is such a dumb fucking branding. It's just all in. You're just fucking all in. No, imagine you're playing poker, right? You're playing poker. You got a big chip stack in front of you, right? Maybe you have a good hand, maybe you have a bad hand and you're bluffing, right? And you just like push the chip stack in and you're like, I'm on Zero. No, you would never, hopefully you're not bluffing because everyone's going to go in on that. It's just not sexy. It's all in Bitcoin.
Hey, we're going to have a.
And we don't need 5 pages explaining how to go all in Bitcoin. You just go all in Bitcoin.
Hey, there's some helpful tips there. Okay. Tools you can use. Check it out. Just go to tftc.io and search Get On Zero. That's how you're going to find his articles.
No, it's because Pomp had Get Off Zero for the suits, right? And was like, put a 1% allocation in Bitcoin. And so this was a responsive meme. Responsive memes don't work. Like, that's not a thing. You need to be proactive. You need to be aggressive.
Attacking.
You know? All in. All in Bitcoin. Boom.
That would be good SEO too. Just ride the waves of the All In Fiat podcast.
There you go. Imagine if they called their podcast Get On Zero, they'd have like 5 listeners.
Get On Zero. Yeah. Business on air. Sahil, if you're listening. I know we had some conversations about this last week when Matt was in town.
And I love you, Sahil. You're a brother. You're just wrong.
But his point being, it was cool. And because I kept begging him for an invoice, not begging him. I was like, dude, send me an invoice. He helped me out. And he wouldn't. And then I zapped him from the mint. And when you do that, since Mutiny doesn't know who I am and that I'm sending to Sahil, like he had no, it wasn't connected with my MPub or anything. So he like immediately hit me up, was like, was this you? And I was like, you'll never know.
But they can. That's just because it's early. Like the dream is, when you're making the payment, it's like, do you want this to be private or public? And it will tell the recipient, you know, it can be a public zap where it's like, I got received payment from Marty.
Well, he didn't know it was from me, so it wasn't connected to my MPub at all. Yeah.
Yeah. But I'm saying like the dream is to give the user the option, right? Yeah. Because once again, like if you're paying your cleaning lady, like you want her to know that you're the one who paid her, right? Yeah. And there's different variations here, right? Like it's if you're supporting a content creator, right? Or you're supporting a open source developer, right? Like there was this open source developer, oh, I forgot to put this on the list, that came out with Blossom, which is like this new protocol for file storage using Nostr, right? And so like Nostr solved or is solving the distributed text problem, right? where it works really well with text. But when you host videos or you host any kind of files, you're just hosting that on a centralized server somewhere. So Blossom attempts to solve the actual file storage issues. And he released this to the world. And I was like, this is fucking awesome, right? And like, that should be a public zap, right? Because that's like, look, I'm supporting this guy. You should support this guy. And that should be public, right? And then you have payments that you want to be completely private where you don't want the receiver to even know. And then you have the middle ground where you only want the receiver to know and you don't want anyone else to know. What is Sahil in the comments?
No, I have Parker texting me saying hashtag get on zero is way better.
He's just being provocative.
I don't see him out there either.
Parker, I love you, but you're not right about everything. You got to stay humble out there.
I love this. Yeah, people listening live, you know, they have some comments. That's the beauty of RHR. We have multiple comment sections. It's YouTube, Zap.stream, Twitter, and then people will just text us live comments, direct, peer-to-peer.
Sometimes CEOs will call us live.
Sometimes, every once in a while. Next on the list, speaking of CEOs, MicroStrategy surpasses 1% of total Bitcoin supply milestone using proceeds of yet another $600 million convertible note offering. They're scooping up a lot.
The reason I put this in the notes and the reason I put the next one in the notes is because the key here is you don't have to agree with everyone who uses Bitcoin. Like, Bitcoin is designed so that you don't have to trust other participants. Bitcoin is for enemies. You don't have to, someone who holds more Bitcoin doesn't give them more control over the network. You can ask Roger Ver how that works. He got his ass absolutely handed to him. I think this is an important context to realize because the suits, you know, to start out, the Cali rip, I used the CNBC clip of Dylan, not CNBC, Fox Business clip of Dylan on, with Charles from Fox Business News. And he asked a comparison of Saylor and the Hunt brothers cornering the silver market. And there's this increasing narrative, right? Where it's like Saylor controls Bitcoin among the suits, right? To the suits, like Saylor is like this Bitcoin god king that controls Bitcoin. And they're just wrong. They're just flat out wrong. And I think it's important to cover this narrative early and often. Because it's going to become louder and louder as this bull starts to rip. It's going to be Saylor this, Saylor that. And he has no control over Bitcoin. Just because you own more Bitcoin does not give you more control over the network. That is one of the beautiful aspects of Bitcoin because it's one of the few things in this world that that's the case for. And this is something that the shitcoiners with proof of stake completely miss because they designed their protocol. So if you have more of it, you have more control over the network. Like, they literally designed it from the ground up to make sure that's the case.
Yes. And not to say in Saylor's defense, this is the media and the suits projecting him as some sort of god king. I think to date, he hasn't shown that he believes he can control Bitcoin. I think he understands it intuitively, but people just see him amassing a bunch of supply.
Look, I mean, I would not co-sign that message, but... We can agree to disagree.
I mean, I don't think it's property. I think we can easily use some of our New York.
I think
we're aligned. We're aligned here. I'm just trying to.
I think Saylor thinks he's a god king. I'll go on the record saying I think Saylor thinks he's a god king.
You know, I don't think that's an outlandish statement.
I think he should stay humble.
Everybody should stay humble, including Michael Saylor.
Including us. I'm going to reiterate it over and over again in this bull market because not good at staying humble.
Yes. What do you think of this trend of large Bitcoin holders publicly showing their address? El Salvador. Okay.
This is not revealed. A trend.
Yes, it is.
I mean... I think this is, first of all, this is El Salvador having transparency over their national treasury.
Yes.
And the other example is Bitwise having transparency over an ETF's holdings that they don't own themselves, right? Legally, it's the ETF holders that are supposed to own it. And in this case, I mean, I would say that it's the citizens' Bitcoin. It's at least supposed to be the citizens' Bitcoin. So I think in both cases, Bukele and Bitwise should be applauded for essentially doing proof of reserves for the constituents, whether those constituents are ETF shareholders or if they are citizens of a country. This has been a long time coming from El Salvador. I almost thought I was never going to see the day. Their press release is fucking hilarious. It's like, it makes it seem like there's like just a treasure sitting in a vault, like underneath like their version of the White House, which is just like a crazy visualization to have. Shout out Wiz. He posted a mempool.space link. I feel like it was the president of a country posting a mempool.space link, like it will never get old. That's pretty fucking cool. But yeah, I think this is like base level transparency that a government should do for their Bitcoin holdings, for the national Bitcoin holdings. And really what I would like to see is multi-sig among multiple stakeholders within the government.
That's what, right? I was getting at. This trend of sharing a single sig address for a large treasury.
Yeah, I mean, look. I think in Bitwise's case, like Coinbase uses MPC, which is not as great as not nearly as good and robust as regular multisig, but presumably there's multiple parties involved in that key sharing agreement. Like in this situation, like I said, like it just reads like there's like a single cold card like in a vault somewhere. But massive improvement, massive step forward, right? And it's little steps, and then hopefully, right? And I think it sets an example as they're the first country that's really stacked any kind of serious coin publicly, and it is technically the citizens' Bitcoin. So it's good to see. I think for a while he was literally just like stacking to a custodial wallet from a mobile app on a toilet. So. It's a big win.
It's funny, like to think about the logistics of that. It's like, yeah, like your government has a bank account, and you just like use a mobile app to connect the bank account to where you're buying Bitcoin. You're just taking a shit, stacking sats. What would your ideal multi-sig setup for a government look like? Would you have like the head of the Department of Treasury, the head of the Department of Defense, the head of?
Yeah, you need to like. It's like the classic. I mean, look. The U.S. government structure is like corrupted and a fucking mess. But like the idea of checks and balances, right? And you'd want that like distributed to a degree. And like, so who is, and I probably disagree with, maybe you don't even make that public. And that's the real question is like you start, it depends what kind of country you are, right? Like,
could you do like a blinded signature that proves you own a certain amount of Bitcoin, but it doesn't tell you where? I don't think so, not yet, at least.
I mean, no, the question is like, do you make the officials who hold the Bitcoin public or not? It depends like who hold the keys, right? So like if it's like a 5 of 7, right? Do you make it public who those 7 key holders are? And I think like if you're the U.S. government and you can protect those 7 key holders with 11 aircraft carriers, like maybe you do. Like it is relatively public, like who has the keys for us to send a nuke out, right? And it's the same idea, right? It's like you need 2 keys to flip the nuke. And send us into nuclear Armageddon. But it's kind of a similar concept with less nukes and just money is on the line. But money is important, right? Like money is what finances all government operations.
Yeah, it's going to be a really cool future because I think there's a way in which you can keep everybody private, but you have these maybe semi-annual ceremonies where 5 of 7 members of the quorum or maybe 7 of 7 of the quorum sign a message saying like, hey, yeah, we still have control of these keys, like do a key check or something like that.
I mean, I don't think that's necessarily the problem because the constituents just assume like, obviously you could spend the money. Like no one's going to be like, are you sure you can spend the money? I don't think that's the concern. I think the concern is like who holds the keys. Mm-hmm. And I think there's going to be different models there. Right. But if you're a smaller country, that can just get like CIA black holed, like individuals can get like CIA blackholed. Like, it's probably not the best idea to say who specifically has it, and it's a balancing act, right?
Yeah. This is the future we live in, freaks. It's exciting.
There will be wars fought over Bitcoin holdings. So.
No, because that's what I was about to mention too. Like, do you have like a multi-jurisdictional multi-sig for your country's treasury? That's a bad idea.
Yeah, I mean, maybe like the poorer countries will, right? Like the UN will hold a key.
No, you don't want the UN holding a key.
No, but that's the point. The poorer country doesn't have a choice in that situation, right? The UN's like, I'm holding a key. The US government's holding a key. You know, like they it's like the IMF bullshit just with Bitcoin. In general, I mean, these are national strategic resources and they should be treated as such.
Be aware, freaks. It's really cool to see. I'm excited to see the spectrum of key setups that we begin to see for these different entities, whether it's MicroStrategy, El Salvador, bigger countries, bigger companies, whatever it may be. Because Tesla, I mean, if people forget, we have the example of Tesla. They forked BTC Pay server, and they still have Bitcoin on their balance sheet, and I think they're self-custodying it, which is good.
Do they still? I thought they sold it all.
I don't think they sold it all. I'm pretty sure they still have something on their balance sheet. Fact check me, freaks, if I'm wrong, but I think that may be the case. Back to coin privacy. Is a coin swap a coin join? No.
No. So
teleport transactions.
Yeah. So Chris Belcher was working on CoinSwap, and then he got sick and walked away from the project. So CoinSwap is a Bitcoin privacy project or protocol that instead of doing what I was explaining earlier, which is coin joins, right, which is these multi-party collaborative transactions, with a CoinSwap, you're literally swapping private keys. You're swapping Bitcoin with someone else, right? So Marty has some Bitcoin, I have some Bitcoin, and we just like, yo, let's swap, and we swap, but it's protocolized. And CoinSwap can work very well in conjunction with CoinJoin. I don't think it's like an either or kind of thing. But what's really cool here is Chris Belcher walked away from the project. It is an open source project. And this guy picked it up and carried the torch, which is one of those things that is unique to open source projects, that they can outlive the creator. They're truly viral. They can outlive all of us if they're compelling. So it's just really great to see someone carry the torch and push this forward. And it seems like he has a pretty strong MVP available now for people to play with. I have not tried it yet.
Yeah, there is a disclaimer. Library is currently under beta development and at an experimental stage. Or known and unknown bugs, mainnet use is strictly not recommended. So go play around with it on Signet or Testnet.
Or mainnet.
Not recommended, but you can
mainnet's
do it.
Mainnet's the real testnet. Just do it with a sufficiently small amount of mainnet funds.
Be aware.
You'll never figure out the mainnet bugs unless you use it on mainnet.
Shout out to the shadowy supercoders from bitshala.org. Next on the list, just throwing me off, Matt changed where we hold the list this week.
We're on Signal now. Fuck Slack.
We're getting the software updates, so we'll reboost and then we'll come back to software updates. Shout out to you freaks who are zapping on the live stream, rhr.tv/stream on zap.stream. Let's see where we are there. Dang. We've got shout out to Gazoo. 42,000 some odd sats.
Is there a message attached?
I can't see.
Kieran, make it easier for us to see. First of all, I appreciate you. Kieran is the legend behind Zapstream. Make it easier for us to see if messages are attached to the top zappers on the top. I can't easily see that.
It's product request live on air.
Awesome.
That's the other thing. Like, I clicked his name in the pop out chat and now I have to go back.
Just press back.
I can't. and the pop out.
But do the two finger scroll back thing on your trackpad.
Interesting.
Did it work?
No.
Live tech support.
Live tech support. Thank you. There we go. I'm gonna pop this back out. Shout out to Kazoo and others zapping the zap.stream live stream. Shout out to Tony, giving the new CD hat a shout out, and shouting out to the live streamers as well, the live stream chat. And here are the top four boosts from Rabbit Hole Recap 296 live from Bitcoin Commons in Austin.
These boosts, because Marty just shouted the Zap stream chat multiple times, are from podcasting 2.0 apps like Fountain and Breeze. And a reminder, 5% of Sats streamed go directly to OpenSats, supporting open source contributors.
We missed the week before, right?
Oh, yeah, we did miss the week. Logan.
Thank you, Logan. And Logan, you didn't ask Marty. Marty, have you zapped today?
I have. I can prove it.
Did you?
I did. Did
you don't have to prove it. I do love that. I don't think you realize that like zaps on Noster are publicly tallied.
I do realize that. It's been pointed out to me a lot over the last week.
Did you see the meme? Marty, 19,000 sats zapped. Odell, 8 million.
I'm catching up. Top four boosts from Rabbit Hole Recap 295. The bank runs escalate at Pringle Stacks. Boosted 100,000 sats. Thank you, Sil. You two keep us keen to learn. I spend hundreds of hours a week listening to all things Bitcoin/Noster Revolution. Much can be above my pay grade, but we're convicted enough to give the middle finger to the system. Being rebellious to preserve one's wealth is logical, not radical. I agree. Final thought. Marty zaps Matt. He also gives big chunks back to those that educate in geopolitics too. See you next year if we keep ripping. Second biggest boost.
Did you write that, Marty?
I did not. Pringle Stacks. You can go verify this too on Fountain.
No, she's awesome.
She's one and two. So she gave us 155,555 sats. The second boost was 55,555 sats. Fives across the board. Palindrome boost. Stay humble, stack sats, and keep the info flowing. Love you both like sons. Love you too.
Great advice.
At Eric99, boosted 50,000 sats. Stay humble, stack sats.
Great advice, Eric. Thank you.
And come rocket. Sorry, come rocket. We were late on this one because we didn't read them live last week. 42,069 sats. As the price goes up, this booster going down. Columbus Bitcoin Meetup, Tuesday, March 19th, 2024. Hope it was a good one from 6 to 9 p.m. at 80 East Rich Street, Columbus, Ohio. There's been a lot of exciting news happening with Bitcoin, ranging from the recent launch of the ETS to the upcoming Bitcoin halving happening in late April. We have an amazing event evening planned with a full lineup of guest speakers, the network firm, a registered CPA firm, mining operations manager, and relationship manager with River, and a member of the Consensus, K-O-N-S-E-N-S-U-S network, a Bitcoin-only publishing house. Peace and love. We hope at the meetup in Columbus, Ohio this week on Tuesday was great. I saw the River team tweeting about it. Looked like it was well attended. So shout out to
this
you freaks.
This was 2 days ago.
Yes.
Appreciate you, Come Rocket. Sorry that Marty didn't read the boost last week.
It was live on air. Live rips the boost. We usually forget. We're having so much fun.
Yeah. Top four boost. We had 150 people in person. That was fucking dope.
Yeah, it was fun. It was a good rip. 296 top four boosts for that live rip. At Eric99, boosted 50,000 sats. March 27th, Minneapolis, Minnesota, Bitcoin meetup at O'Shaughnessy Distillery. All are welcome. Stay humble. Stack sats.
Great advice. Great distillery. Great meetup. You should go.
Keeper's Heart. Made it by O'Shaughnessy Distillers. This is the single malt Irish whiskey finished.
Who sent that boost?
A Malaga wine cast. That was Eric99.
Oh, sweet. And Keeper's Heart is surprisingly affordable, too. I think they can charge more.
It's really good. Their American blend's really good, too. We have that here in the comments. At Carol and Danner, 20,000 sats. Catching all plebs. Join us for the Bitcoin Freedom Festival in Connecticut on Saturday, May 4th. Rooftop Terrace pleb party the night before at MGM Springfield, Massachusetts. May the 4th. Hosted by Anders on Saturday. Oh, maybe it's CT. You mean it's a festival in CT? I think it means Connecticut. Could be wrong. On Saturday, there will be your fave speakers, workshops, merch, art, and Cattleman's Feast hosted by Texas Slim. Be a part of the peaceful revolution. Tickets at massadoption.net. MASSADOPTION.net. Shout out to our New England freaks.
Let's go.
Out there pushing the freedom movement. At Blockchain Boog, boosted 5,000 sats. Stay humble. Love the open Q&A. Remember, support your Bitcoin companies. Good advice, Blockchain Boog.
Thank you. At
Faded Flagle. Oh, no. Faded Flage. 3,300 sats. And the message just says Roman.
Let's fucking go. Shout out Roman.
Shout out Roman.
Are you talking about the ethnicity? Is it like the people or is it?
I don't know. Logan, is there some inside joke we're missing that you picked up on? He has no idea. Roman. Shout out to you, freaks, for zapping, boosting.
Roman.
Logan, what do you got to say about Roman?
Roman.
Roman. Was that a dick pill commercial? Did they just wrestle? Was it like Roman, the dick pills?
Wait, are there dick pills named Roman?
Oh, yes. Yes. Hers and Roman. Or hims and Roman. Reebs, we're sorry for doing Cum Rocket dirty. Kieran, shout out to you for the 69,000 sat zap on zap.stream.
Yeah, thank you.
The product you built. That's the Kieran that built Zapstream, I think. So
that is correct. It is the Kieran.
Shout out to you. Thank you for taking our product advice live on here.
I don't know if you heard the product advice, but we did give some product requests, not advice, really.
Request. Name feedback, zap.stream, great name. Didn't force Noster into it.
No.
Memorable URL.
Also, I do love that, like, if you're listening to this on YouTube or Twitter, or the podcast apps, every podcast app, we're available on. You can go to zap.stream and you don't have to have a Noster account. You can create one on the website, which is not great security wise, but is great functionality wise and UX wise. And that's important. I think zap.stream is going to fucking crush Twitch. We're going to do it. This is like one of the killer apps of Noster.
Agreed.
And Parker doesn't realize, like, he's already been on zap.stream, he's already used Noster multiple times and he just doesn't even realize it yet.
So does he owe you a million sats?
He's owed me a million sats since he got zaps through Noster, and the rider dies now.
Speaking of rider dies,
like 3 years. I got like 3 years on the bet.
A ride or die resident Tesla bull full-time Bitcoin is confirming that they still hold Bitcoin around 10,000.
Did he text you?
No, he's in the poor person's live chat over on YouTube.
There's a lesson there that the Tesla bull is in the YouTube chat. There's something there. I'm just saying. Yeah. I love you, FTB, but consider it.
Likes Teslas and participates in the YouTube chat. Yeah. Oh, God. Back to the list. Software updates, starting with Electrum. Version 4.5.4, palindrome version. Fixes and improvements come with Electrum. On that note, Electris, which is an Electrum server that you can host on your computer, version 0.10.4 has been released. Cold Card Q firmware version 1.0.0 has been released. I recorded a TFTC and posted that yesterday with MBK.
Did you talk about Cold Card at all, or was it just... Does AI unleashed dot chat?
No, we talked about Cold Card for a good bit, particularly the Q, because I've been using the Q, and I will say, disclaimer, CoinKite sponsored the pod, but as an avid...
I mean, if you're going to do the disclaimer, you should do the full disclaimer.
And 1031 portfolio company.
1031's the exclusive investor of Cold Card, and also NVK is an incredibly good friend.
He is. And I was not blowing smoke up his ass, but I was complimenting him for
Marty
the UX
is like,
and the Q card.
You listen to Marty's podcast if you want to hear him blowing smoke up people's ass. That's his thing.
Shut the fuck up. The Q, though, honestly, is from a UX perspective, I love it. I love the battery pack specifically.
I live for those shut the fuck ups. This is so good. I love you, brother. Yeah, the Q is dope. I like the Q a lot. I really do think that, so like the Q and the MK4 use the same exact chipset. So it's like you're not getting any additional security from the Q. I think like they're a complementary product. Like it's not either or. Like you should own both. You keep the Q at home. The MK4 is small and easy to travel with. I love the form factor of the MK4. Like I think it's so nice, and it's amazing how much freedom it gives you in such a small little device. But then the Q, on the other hand, you got that dope QR code scanner. You have the big, beautiful screen. You have the two SD card slots. You have the batteries. So you don't need to be tethered to something.
I'm telling you, like, the battery is the biggest upgrade. Like not having to be tethered to a wall.
The full keyboard. If you use a passphrase, the full keyboard is fucking awesome. And like when it comes time for seed recovery. And then the other thing is like the cold card clone feature. That allows you to securely, with micro SD card, mirror a cold card on another cold card. Makes it so that if you already have MK4 set up, you can easily clone them to a cold card queue and you can have them represent the same key set. So the whole thing just really starts to come together. Oh, password manager. I love a good old-fashioned offline password manager where you have to type in the passwords. Like you use that for like your most important passwords. Your most important password shouldn't be like a one-click LastPass autofill. Like that is a recipe for fucking disaster. And historically, I've recommended notebooks, but now that the cold card Q has it, that's fucking cool. Two-factor authentication backup. Just scan the QR code with the nice little barcode scanner. Pretty cool how. Pretty cool to watch it all come together.
Yeah.
Stay humble, MVK. Those are a lot of compliments.
Yeah. I'm going to keep going with them. Like, I mean, the integration with Nunchuck Wallet, too, where you can...
No, Nunchuck is...
No, it's like... I know you said that to me last week, too, but honestly, just being able to use it as a signing device and, like, have a somewhat watch-only wallet on the go.
And then I love Hugo. From it too. I love Hugo. Nunchuck's a beta product. Don't use it with substantial amount of funds.
But in this scenario, they're not on Nunchuck, right? They're on
cold card. Yeah, but still.
I think you're being a little too critical. Let me have my moment here. It's okay, a magical experience.
Look, you have your moment. I mean, I guess if you're not using multisig, it's not like as... It can't be as scary.
No, I'm not. Yeah.
The test. But like if the answer is like, oh, like Nunchuck's fucking up, so like you can always just export it to Sparrow, like, okay, like Nunchuck's a beta product. Like that's just ridiculous. Just use Sparrow. But yeah, I love Hugo. It's just not quite there yet. I can't recommend it yet.
You heard it here first, freaks. Probably also hear here first that Robosat's version 0.6.0 alpha has been released. The Federation layer, big update for Robosat's.
This is that same trend I was talking about with Sparrow, right? Where they start super centralized and then they're moving to a more distributed model.
And this is for trade coordination, the Federation?
Yeah, so like multiple people can run Robosat's instances. Right. So like you have federated instances and then one app can seamlessly use all of those instances, which is pretty fucking cool to see.
Yeah. Shout out to the Robosat's team.
Someone is asking me what would make Nunchuck a non-beta product. It's just stability. Like it's just not stable right now. Yeah, it like bugs out, it force closes on you, like the chat doesn't work. Like the whole point of the chat is like so you can share the PSBTs around. Set up a multisig with a bunch of your friends on Nunchuck. Have at least one of them on an Android phone. And then tell me that it's not a beta product. That's my answer.
Lighting a fire on the Nunchuck team's ass right now. I love it. Staying on this decentralized peer-to-peer exchange tip, BISC version 2.0.0 is now live. BISC 2 is the successor to the original BISC, BISC V1. It has been developed from the ground up to allow for multiple trade protocols to be accessed via a single decentralized exchange platform. So another major upgrade to a peer-to-peer decentralized exchange, in this case, BISC. So for BISC user, you now have V2. It's live.
Let's go. BISC is an absolutely integral project in the space, and I know 2.0 has been a long, long time coming, so it's good to see.
Yeah. Shout out to everybody working on BISC. Shout out to Evan and crew working on Zeus. Zeus version 0.8.2 has been released with zero conf LSP support for LND REST, a point of sale print receipts option, and an enhanced recovery interface. Shout out to Zeus. Umbral OS version 1.0 has been released with new UI, an architectural overhaul, search, and more. So this is similar to BISC. I think they gutted everything at the foundation and build it from the ground up. What are you laughing at?
Would you rather be one cold card MK4 or three Bitbox to Bitcoin onlys? I'm not going to eat any of them, but that's what I was laughing at. It was just in the comments.
Yeah. So Umbral.
This is a big deal for Umbral. It's good to see.
Yeah.
We're seeing a lot of the work that a lot of these teams did in the bear markets really coming to fruition now.
It's cliche, but it's true. Building happens in the bear markets. ENuts version 0.3.1 beta has been released with an App Store release. So you can now get this on the App Store.
And I think they're phasing out their testnet version, so their test flight version. So if you're on the test flight, switch over to the main release sooner rather than later.
All right, I got to do that. I got to do that. Please move your funds to another mint ASAP or cash out via Lightning. The ENuts app will not provide a default mint anymore and is not responsible for refunding lost funds. I might do that.
There you go. Now. That's a big disclaimer.
I think I've got like 50,000 sats on ENuts.
What are you, nuts?
A little crazy there. Yeah, I do. Fuck. All right. I'll get that off later.
You can just zap it.
Can I?
I have a lot of good posts out that I put out this morning. Just send it to your good buddy. Send it to OpenSats. It's opensats at vlt.ge.
I'll think about it. I just sent it to my primal. Okay.
So selfish. What about the contributors? Do you not care?
I care. Let's see how fast this works. Mint is processing the payment according to your request. Thank God we have the show. I might have missed this. Payment was successful.
Yeah, freaks, if you don't know, me and Marty keep up with everything through RHR. So huge shout out to the hosts.
I'm going to go into Primal, make sure it came. There it is. Let's go. It's a beautiful thing. Another mint to Lightning. Using Ellen address. It's a beautiful thing.
Beautiful custodial to custodial transaction.
Interoperability. Live on air. I keep forgetting we're in Signal. Cashew Nutshell version 0.15.1 has been released. Blink as a Lightning funding source has been added. Cashew Nutshell. Another eCash product. Bolt's client version 2.0.0 has been released with swap client for automated cheap CLN and LND channel rebalancing. Shout out to the Bolt's team. Primal iOS version 1.3.6 has been released with multi-account support. That's good to know.
Pretty cool.
Pretty cool. Reaching parity with X, if you will.
With what?
With X. That's like one of the things. Formerly Twitter. Like, formerly Twitter. Going from my personal to the TFTC account. Having it all in one spot. Very convenient. BitGo introduced replace by fee support for hot custodial and self-managed wallets. Shout out BitGo. Implementing RBF.
I put this here because, like, what the fuck took them so long? But then also, like, this is how these systems evolve, right? Is with pressure. And, like, they were never going to add RBF support. One of the largest custodians in the space was never going to add RBF support until fees rose on chain, they were not going to add RBF support. And if I can remind the freaks, I think it was about a year ago that there was this whole core argument about RBF because it's fucking up zero confirmation channels, like all this shit, zero confirmation transactions, all this shit. And now we're in a fee environment where mempools haven't cleared in quite a while. So it's just interesting how quickly and also how slowly the space can move at the same time. But then also like the actual pressure that happens when the market dictates it. When the need arises, people will innovate and evolve and adapt, and these tools get better.
Yeah. It's a beautiful thing. Pressure creates diamonds. In this case, it created RBF functionality for BitGo users. Congrats to you guys. Not as many transactions will get stuck in the mempool. If you look at the No BS Bitcoin post, you'll see that there is, you have to toggle it on. You have to enable transaction. They're calling it transaction acceleration, but it's really replaced by fee.
It's about fucking time, but I thought it was notable. The other thing, I see a comment in the Nostr live chat asking me, what would you recommend for cold wallet backups if someone doesn't own property? The idea of a landlord always being able to access the place a backup is stored is scary. You have multi-sig.
It's a good question.
I think if you're a public figure, particularly, or an organization, you should definitely be using multi-sig. It's easier than ever with Sparrow. But a often understated, not used enough feature of cold card is something called seed XOR, which gives you essentially two seeds, and you need both seeds to recover. So you can put one seed on one seed plate, one seed on another seed plate. You can put them in different places. And you need both of those seed plates to recover. And I just really like seed plates in general, whether you're using multi-sig, seed XOR, or single sig. Steel is dope. Like, steel is awesome. It's water resistant. It's fire resistant. It feels really good in the hand. It doesn't degrade over time. Steel is a great way to do backups.
Consider steel for your backups.
this episode
brought to you by steel. You're steel maximalist here.
Yeah, someone's saying you can do X of X. You can do more than two seeds with seed XOR, but just keep in mind you need all the parts. So like you're gonna be playing like where in the world is Carmen San Diego trying to get like your five parts of your seed XOR, like don't do that.
Yes.
I mean, do it if you want, but consider not.
We're having a freak in the Nostr live chat saying, also consider titanium, harder to detect with metal detectors. Maybe consider titanium too.
This episode is brought to you by steel.
Blue steel. Last on the list, it's not really a software update, but an update nonetheless. The Nostr.org has been turned into a Nostr protocol splash page. Who was holding this? Ben Ark was holding this domain.
No. Ben Ark didn't renew it, and someone took it, and he got it back. And now it's a splash page.
Good news, everyone. After a year of haggling with the domain troll, we got Nostr.org. We managed to get it back. Now it's Ben Ark. So if you go to Nostr.org now, it's a nice splash page. Go to the website, Logan.
It's just a website. Nostr's bigger than any website, but it's good to have.
This is probably like one of the few where it's like you're naming something based on Nostr. This makes sense. Nostr.org for Nostr. This makes sense. This is a good naming for.
Oh,
for
we're
this
pro. Website. We're pro the name.
Yeah, this is a good name.
We approve this name.
It's a good URL. Last on the list, I had somebody, I won't mention who, but I will probably do a podcast with them at some point in the future, brought this to my attention before it was publicly announced. And it is pretty scary. Elon Musk is building the world's most advanced spy satellite swarm network for the U.S. government. Look at that smile. Fucking fuck.
Great photo.
That's a smile fuck if I've ever seen one.
So how do you feel about this, Marty?
Not good. Especially, I think I've gotten some insights into particular implementation details of the spy satellite network, and I want to blow up anybody's spot or
let's hear it.
No, I can't do it. There should be a bigger story coming out about it in the coming weeks, but it's not good.
How does this make you feel about your actions? Like, how are you going to proceed?
I feel fine. I mean,
you feel good about your actions and your plan going forward hasn't changed at all or.
No, I feel good.
Are you going to get the chip that he's designing as well or.
If it can make me play chess without having to touch anything, maybe.
I mean, it can make you play chess. Can you play chess right now?
In all seriousness though, that is like a bit nefarious. Just like, oh, we're going to help the dude who can't move play chess.
They always start with the quads. Like that's, you know, it's like we're doing good. It's for good. Like, how can you complain?
Look, we're helping this quad. We're referring to them as quads now. We're helping this quad out play chess. Yeah, so diving more into the details of the story, SpaceX is building a network of hundreds of spy satellites under a classified contract with the U.S. intelligence agency. Five sources familiar with the program said, demonstrating deepening ties between billionaire entrepreneur Elon Musk, space company, and national security agencies. In all seriousness, it seems like the posturing around free speech and what he's trying to do with X is nothing more than a limited hangout. As we know from Tesla
it's
and SpaceX.
Bullshit. Like, yeah. He didn't buy Twitter to protect free speech. He bought Twitter because he realized how fucking powerful it was to own Twitter, and he wanted the power.
Yeah.
And the first thing he did with that power was convince you that it was for free speech. And most of the freedom influencers, including Marty, took it hook, line, and sinker.
No, I did not. Shut the fuck up.
And now he's building a fucking swarm satellite network that can take a picture anywhere in the world pretty much instantly, real time, for the U.S. government.
Yeah, it's not, I mean, the details that I've heard from...
Go on.
Somebody writing a story on this right now is that, it's...
I mean, it's clearly Whitney.
If you think about the digital panopticon, like, this is going to put it on crack. If you're talking about, like, carbon credits and all that, it's...
You know what would really add to this? If he could read every Freedom Influencer's DMs and if he had cameras on all of their vehicles with real-time location tracking. Like, I feel like if you put all those things together, that would be pretty crazy. Like, good thing he doesn't have that capability.
All right. Maybe I do need to exit X.
Noster only. Let's fucking go. Be the change you want to see in the world.
Well, speaking of that, you mentioned Blossom earlier. And that's what I think excites me about Noster is because I had Kevin McKernan on TFTC, who's a biochemist who was explaining the problems of peer review in the medical world. And he's keen on finding a solution to this. I actually hooked him up with the founders of Blossom. Hopefully that is a solution for these scientists trying to fix peer review. And the point being is like, how do we jumpstart Noster? I think it's well known that there's a lot of Bitcoiners and freedom lovers on Noster and using Noster and many different apps and clients that exist on Noster. But I think to create like a critical mass network effect flywheel, getting people leveraging Noster in that way would be massive.
Yeah, I mean, Blossom only comes into effect if they like want to actually store PDFs. That's where because like Noster's great for text, right? So they could just do text. Already with Noster. The real thing I want is Web of Trust, right? So basically, like when we're using Noster, we're bootstrapping the largest independent Web of Trust network, cryptographically verified Web of Trust network with shitposts. Like, that is 100% what we're doing. And it's up to clients and developers to build these Web of Trust interfaces so people can actually interact with it in an intuitive way. And when I say Web of Trust, what does that mean? It's like, you know, like Marty, I trust Marty, so then Marty recommends this, right? And it's oh, you check a peer-reviewed paper and you have cryptographic signatures of different people you trust that have peer-reviewed that, and you have no institution in the middle ground. And we have that, like, the capability exists in Nostra right now. What doesn't exist is the interface, right? The interface where you see, like, Marty's mug and my mug and, like, Pablo's mug and, like, your profile pictures, and it puts different weights to them. And you can give people different weights. You can say, like, you know, like, I trust Marty when he talks about Bitcoin, but when Marty talks about Elon, I don't trust him, right? And so, like, you only weight him on the Web of Trust for that topic that you weight him for. And it's being built out right now. There's a lot of cool people doing cool things with it. You know, we had HODLBOD of Coracle in Austin last week. He's doing some really cool things with it. There's so many developers doing cool things with it. And yeah, be the change you want to see in the world.
Yeah, it's true. That is, like, seeing the satellite network. We should have all seen it coming. Tesla, SpaceX, all heavily dependent on the government. The X stuff, the Twitter stuff, complete limited hangout.
Nobody could have seen me coming.
But it's the power of rhetoric, persuasion, propaganda, whatever you will. You just talk about hating the government, and then on the back end, you just sign a bunch of contracts on with them. Because if you think, like, censorship is bad and you're publicly talking against it, then you're going to sign big contracts to spy on people with the people that you're saying are bad for censoring. It doesn't make any sense. You can follow me on X at Marty Bent. No, I'm kidding.
We're close, freaks. Marty's almost there.
Yeah. Yeah, it's bad. And we are entering this, like, weird state of anarch or tyranny. I mean, beyond that, like, the censorship and the surveillance, you look at the degradation of law. Big story in the news this week, a woman in Staten Island inherited a house from her parents, and she went to go claim the house, and there were squatters living in it, and she tried to kick them out, and she got arrested for trying to kick people out of the house she inherited that she wanted to sell so that she could support her life. Freedom's being attacked from many different vectors right now, across many different vectors.
I mean, look, that's why real estate is a fucking, one of the reasons real estate's a fucking shitcoin.
Yeah.
Is because you're completely beholden to whatever local jurisdiction you choose. I mean, we saw Hong Kong was the real estate, like, the best real estate in the world was Hong Kong. And what, in a matter of like 3 years, 4 years, it wasn't anymore. And because the CCP took it over. And that's like the extreme example, right? And you see less extreme examples in San Francisco, New York, all across the world, London. Like, property rights that are based on a jurisdiction come with inherent jurisdictional risk.
Yeah. And that's, I mean,
Mandibles.
That's most fucked up Mandibles, yes.
You haven't read it.
Actually, I have. the, I don't know, the, like, the anarcho, we're in the looting the treasury stage. And so that's, like, the most messed up part about all this. Like, the propaganda and the rhetoric around all this is like, no, this is fine. This is fine. Like, just let us steal from you. Let us let people steal your house. Let us let the law degrade. And whether it's overtly spying on you to gain more control via Elon satellite network or allowing squatters to steal people's private property. Like, that's the most messed up part about this, because it's a sly, deceptive way to get people so pissed off that they retaliate physically. I mean, it's going to get to the point, if it keeps going down this road, this path, where people are going to get so pissed off. And you're already seeing it in there. I think in Seattle or Portland, the people in the town are like actively going and sitting outside of houses that have squatters in them and like physically intimidating them to leave the house. And the police are coming up and saying, no, the squatters have the rights here. What's going to happen? There's going to be some tipping point where a physical altercation does happen, and the state's going to use that as an example of, oh, we need to step in and exert more control. So it's almost like this really fucked up technique to basically create the conditions that will lead to physical altercations that the state then steps in and says, oh, you guys are physical and dangerous. We need to take more control away from you, lock you in cages. Looting the treasury stage. This is why we Bitcoin. Hold your own keys. You can control your Bitcoin much more than you can control your house and who squats in it. Protect your keys. Consider steel. You can
steel is legit.
It's much easier to protect your wealth and your value and your property in this day and age.
This is all true.
What else do we have?
You got anything else you want to talk about? Or, I mean, I'm doing the Bitcoin Veterans podcast tonight. It's a live show.
Hell yeah.
I believe it will be at 2300 UTC. So that's 7 p.m. Eastern time. And it's a live show. I found out it was a live show this morning. I just wanted to support veterans, so I just kind of blindly agreed to it. But I'm looking forward to it.
You got to support the veterans.
So come join us at the live show over there. That'll be in like 6 hours or something. 5 hours? 4 hours.
4 hours. Three hours. You have 3 hours to prepare for this. 3 hours and 16 minutes.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yes.
It's good I have you here to do the math.
I don't know if it's good that you have me to do the math, but I'm here to try.
We have one of them in the comments. Like, what's the shill? Where can they go to watch it or listen to it or whatever? I assume they can just search Bitcoin Veterans in their favorite podcast app, but how can they find the live show? Maybe you have anything else you want to talk about, Marty?
I don't think so.
This is a great rip.
It was. Trying to think. Anything else? Oh, the Fed. Maybe we should mention the Fed. Seems like they're dovish now. Market's ripping. Inflation. Probably expect it to creep up. I noticed driving into work today that the gas station that I use as my gas inflation indicator, it's above $3 now. And it was hovering around like $2.70 for quite a while, like the last 6 or 7 months.
The California commies are paying like $8 right now or something. Yeah, I mean, do we have any more reserves than like in our strategic reserves or whatever? Like, I stopped checking the...
I don't think so. I haven't even checked oil price. I literally just use the Shell.
Did you say your local Shell is your oil prices?
Yeah, I just like pass it, see it every day. I'm like, oh, it's about $3 again. It's been a while. We were down to like between 250 and 270 for the longest time. And then it just shot up, right, to $2.98 earlier this week and over $3 today.
It's bitcoinveterans.org, and it appears they're Bitcoin Veterans on YouTube. And I guess they're not on Zap.stream yet, but I will give them shit live on air.
Got to get the veteran shit for not being on Zap.stream.
Yeah, that's pretty bad.
Naming convention, Bitcoin Veterans. Like, are you veterans of Bitcoin?
No.
Veterans of the military service that like Bitcoin?
Yeah, they're armed forces veterans.
Like, we're Bitcoin veterans.
That are Bitcoiners.
Are we Bitcoin veterans?
No, we're not their Bitcoin veterans.
No.
No.
I'm not. No stolen valor here. I've never fought on behalf of any of the military services.
He hasn't even given up his fucking Twitter account yet.
Neither of you.
I guess, yeah, but stop using it.
Okay.
Look, I mean, you can't don't give up the account. You got to leave the account. You just stop using it. Because if you give up the account, like a scammer is going to take it right away. You got to just keep it up there. I haven't posted a tweet since August.
Do you miss it at all?
I don't have it signed in on my phone. I don't have it signed in on my new computer. Yes, I bought a new computer at the all-time
stay,
high.
Stay humble. Stay humble.
I needed it. It was like 3 years. I'd do everything from this thing, including like talk to you every week.
It's true. Logan.
It's good for your soul, too. Like, Noster will eventually have all the bad shit, too. But, like, for now, it's, like, pretty high signal. But eventually, like, Noster will have billions of people on it, and there's going to be, like, a lot of fucking toxic shit on there. But for now, like, it's very high signal, which is great.
Yes. If you post on Noster, you may get a zap from your Uncle Marty. You know, I'm zapping like crazy these days.
You're more likely to get a zap from me.
Is that a challenge?
Marty, you don't zap. Like, the stats are public. We know you don't zap much.
I'm climbing the stat board as we speak. You know what?
Okay. Look, be the change you want to see in the world. We will find out.
Let me fucking sign in here. Start zapping freaks.
You had the ability to zap 50,000 sats to open source contributors, and instead you just sent it to yourself. Like, that says all you need to know.
I cleared it from a wallet that's going defunct. I'm going to decide what to do with the sats. Okay.
Okay. Okay. Look, I would love to see you use Noster more. I'm not going to neg you for not, you know, for using Noster more. Like, I want you to use Noster more.
I do. I mean, I've been increasing.
That's good.
And I've been using Twitter less too, which is
that's I'm really proud of you, Marty. Just break it. Just cut it off, cold turkey.
Boom, I'm zapping. I'm zapping.
You don't need it. You don't need it.
Zap.stream is fucking awesome.
It's an addiction. You don't need it. Life goes on. Do you open TikTok every day?
No.
So why do you open Twitter every day?
I don't open TikTok at all.
Is Twitter the first thing you open in the morning? You like roll over in bed and you like open Twitter, like scroll down on the notifications.
No, I physically open my wife's eyes and I say, I love you, baby. Give me a kiss. That's the first thing I open.
Stay humble and stack sad streaks.
Peace and love. The key.